Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
I'm ready.
All right. Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast, everybody. It's Joe, and it's my good buddy Jeff with his Shazam shirt on today. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, everybody.
Jeff, man, it's our Thanksgiving episode. And sounds like it's been a rough week for both of us, but we got a lot to be thankful for, right?
We do. We are above ground and breathing, so that's pretty good.
Shazam.
Yeah.
Shazam.
I love Shazam. How'd
you
like
Black Adam? Did you see Black Adam?
I did see Black Adam.
I didn't see Black Adam yet. Also, I'm going to just vamp here for a little bit because there's an eBay auction ending in now 14 minutes that I want to go try and snipe somebody on. So try and take a break, and then I'll fill everybody in on whether I got the comic I'm bidding on.
Cool.
Black Adam. What do you think of Black Adam?
I think Black Adam needed another one or two rewrites to eliminate the unnecessary fourth act that it ended up having.
Not part of any standard screenplay structure I'm familiar with.
I know. I just, when I'm thinking, okay, well, the movie's over. Nope. Oh, no. The actual big bad of the movie is showing up now, and here we go. I'm like, wait a minute. No.
What?
No. So as much as I wanted to love it, I didn't. They didn't take enough time to introduce the characters. So therefore, I didn't care about the characters.
But you don't really need to introduce the characters. It's The Rock with a superhero suit on.
Right. But you also have the JSA in there. And I want to get to know the JSA.
Me too, because one of my favorite characters when I was growing up was Dr. Fate. And I see that Dr. Fate is in this movie.
Do they
do him justice?
No, they don't, because they don't allow enough time to get to know the character. It's just, bam, we're in the action. And bam, you should know who these people are. And bam, you should understand their relationships. They've known each other for a long time now. Let's go.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Yeah, we just showed up in the theater. Maybe you could give us some flashbacks or something. Anything?
What theater did you see that?
We were at the AMC at the Westroads Shopping Mall in Omaha.
I saw Black Panther this weekend at the Alamo Drafthouse, which is a much preferable experience because of the pre-show entertainment.
Yes, we love that.
They gave a ton of background on Namor for people who might not have been familiar with him.
Good.
In the pre-show, which, so you show up early. They should have done the same thing. Dr. Fate, let's talk about him in the pre-show.
I love the way that I would rather have that than Maria Menounos. No disrespect to her. She's probably great and everything, whatever. But I could do without all of that AMC pre-show stuff.
Without the Toyota and Pepsi ads?
Well, the Pepsi ads are fine with me. I love Pepsi.
You're already sitting there drinking Pepsi at that moment in time. You're like, I don't need an ad. I will stand up and tell all these people how amazing Pepsi is and how they should go get some right now.
Unfortunately, they don't serve Pepsi there. So I was left to my own devices.
Is that Marcus is a Pepsi?
Or is I believe like... so. Okay. I believe so.
I don't mean to put you on the spot there.
Yeah.
About that. So Black Adam, marginal. I tried to look up some comic news today. It was a little thin. And it was mostly about comic books that I don't know that you would be super familiar with.
Hit me. What do you got?
Well, see, now you put me on the spot because I didn't write them down. Superman apparently has a boy sidekick who may be evil, which is a thing, I guess.
Why does Superman need a sidekick?
I think he's mentoring and training.
Okay, that's fine.
And it's like Superman doesn't know, but kid maybe. I don't know. I guess I'd have to read Superman to find out. I'm having a lot of fun with Batman comics right now for the first time in a long time. I think you already talked about that.
Yeah.
Batman's really good now.
Good.
So it's on a great run in that I think it's Chip Zdarsky writing it now. And I really like him. He wrote Daredevil for a while for Marvel. Mm-hmm. And Batman is finally up against a foe that may equal him. Have we talked about this? So Batman is finally facing off against himself.
Ooh, how does that happen?
So in the Justice League, remember the Justice League run where Batman was like, everybody was super mad at him because they all got defeated because Batman had a dossier on each person and he knew how to defeat them and somebody hacked it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, flashback in this comic book to at that time, he's like, yeah, I guess if I ever went evil, you know, a lot of bad stuff could happen. So he created a failsafe and he partitioned his memory so he doesn't remember it. And
that's like you do.
He created a mechanical vengeance, almost Batman type creature that knows everything about him and can anticipate every one of his moves and thinks exactly like him. Ooh. That was built to be triggered in case he ever goes bad. And in the Batman comics, Penguin has framed Batman for the murder of Penguin.
Uh-huh.
And the failsafe activates. I'm like, oh, Batman's gone rogue. I got to take him down.
Oh, dear.
And it was funny because somebody pointed out a logical flaw in that to me. They're like, isn't that kind of like sketchy? Just like TV. Somebody's like, oh, Batman killed Penguin. And I guess I kill him now. They're like, didn't Batman anticipate that there might be fake news or something?
Yeah.
And he built in an override for Alfred. But in the comic books, Alfred's dead right now. So the override's not available.
What about maybe a third or fourth backup? Maybe give Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon part of that responsibility?
But it's pretty cool run right now because this thing is trying to kill, like it's just programmed to kill Batman, to do whatever it has to do to kill Batman, but it knows like all of Batman, like all of his moves.
Right.
So, like where he's going to go and what he's going to do and what would motivate him. He winds up hiding out in Atlantis when he's almost dead and the thing starts scanning the planet and it's like, oh, hey, there's been no news from Atlantis in a while. Maybe he's there. It's got its own ways. And now Batman, he's having to double outthink himself. He's like, but if I knew that I knew I was going to do this, how would I stop myself? He's going to be like, I know that you know that I know that you would do that. And it's a lot
nice.
Of fun.
Nice. That sounds good.
Yeah. What have you been at? What's your pop culture thing right now?
I am very guardedly optimistic about James Gunn and Peter Safran taking over DC Studios. And the news I'm hearing is that we are not going to have multiple Batmen. We're gonna narrow it down. So you're probably not going to get too many more of the Pattinson Batman. I don't know what we're going to do about the Michael Keaton situation. Who knows? Yeah. I was looking forward to Michael Keaton coming back, and then they screwed everything up with the Flash, and then they had to cut him out of a bunch of different things.
I'm marginal on Michael Keaton as Batman. I think it came back to when he tore off his cowl and it was all rubbery and he had to try and pull it off. I'm like, mm-hmm. No, that's not cool, Batman.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the second Tim Burton Batman movie. I love the first one. As flawed as it is, I absolutely love it because it paved the way for everything we enjoy right now.
Yeah, that is true. So we're here for a Thanksgiving-themed episode of the Casual Comics Cast. I sent you, Jeff, three comics that are Thanksgiving-adjacent, if not fully about Thanksgiving. It was a hard task to do because I had one in my mind, and I'm like, my favorite Thanksgiving comic of all time, I'm holding that one. You guys wait till our 500th episode. That's when we'll cover that one. But it was weird because there's not as many DC Thanksgiving comics is Marvel Thanksgiving comics for some reason. Mm-hmm. I think DC hates Thanksgiving. That's just my theory at this point. But I think they have more Christmas specials in DC.
That's quite possible. You did find some Christmas comics.
That's
true. The toy show we went to.
Coming soon. And I'll tell you what, I opened up one of them today and I was like, this Thanksgiving comics or this Christmas comic is pretty good. So what we read, and I'm going to just make up right now the order we're going to cover them in, is Franklin Richards' Happy Franksgiving from 2006. Mm-hmm. We read Deadpool number 37 from 2014, and we read JSA number 54, which I like the title is Virtue, Vice, and Pumpkin Pie. So we will let you know how all these characters get along and these books. So we're going to do an overview of each of those books. And we will also then recap with our question of the week, which is, if you're hosting Thanksgiving dinner, which heroes are you inviting and why?
We will
cover that when we return from me trying to go get online and do this eBay auction.
Good luck, buddy.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
I got problems, you do too, but Joe's got issues.
Oh, all right.
Welcome back to the Casual Comics Cast, everybody. It's the special eBay edition, apparently, because this is the one where I'm going and bidding on comic books in the break. I should see if there's more to bid on in the next break. So for those of you keeping score at home, I was trying to purchase a copy of Amazing Spider-Man number 46.
Ooh.
I did not get it.
Oh.
Unfortunately, outbid. But I never feel bad about it because I'm the kind of person who does my research ahead of time and says, what am I willing to pay for a book?
Right.
And if somebody pays more than me for it, then I'll wait for the next one to come up for sale.
Yeah. eBay has gotten rid of scarcity.
I know. It's unfortunate, though. That is a book I kind of was excited for. Amazing Spider-Man 46, first appearance of Jeff, any guesses? Classic Spider-Man villain?
46?
It's not going to be the old Rogues Gallery because it's 46 already.
So we're talking late 60s?
Somewhere in there. Yeah. Ditko's drawn the book anymore. I think he stopped at 38.
Okay.
First appearance of Mysterio, appearance of Electro,
Sandman, Vulture, all those guys, Dr. Octopus. I'm going to go with
has not made an appearance in the MCU yet,
which Scorpion. Is
people are no good guess though. I did just buy at Krypton Comics a copy of second appearance of Scorpion, which I really like. Classic cover. First appearance of Shocker.
Well, that's pretty darn close, actually.
It's very close. Scorpion and Shocker both have padded costumes. Electro and Shocker have similar seeming powers.
Yeah.
Shocker was always one of my favorite. I think his character design is just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not speculating on the book because I'm not that kind of person. I buy the books that I want because I just am a collector.
Right.
In fact, at one point, somebody was like, I had bought I have a copy of Avengers 57, first appearance of the Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And after WandaVision came out, that book was skyrocketing in value. And somebody's like, you should sell that, make some money. And I was like, if I sold that and got the money, and I thought, what do I want to spend this money on? It would be on the comic books.
You'd want to buy that comic book back.
I would be like, now I don't have that comic book I liked.
Yeah, exactly. That's what being a collector is all about.
I know. And that's what drives me. I don't know. That doesn't make me nuts. That's why there's speculators and collectors. The speculators are always trying to make money off the collectors of what are they going to want? Let me try and figure out what they're going to want and buy it all up before they go try and get it.
That puts me firmly in the category of collector of retro action figures then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So not, people are buying them up speculating?
Oh, lots of people do.
That's sad.
It's kind of annoying, really.
I know.
That's not what the hobby's about. It's about getting the things that you remember having as a kid and enjoying it. And when they bring out new cool stuff, get the stuff you love and don't worry so much about the stuff you don't.
But if people aren't willing to, I don't know. I'm more, I work at a bank and payments company. I'm trying to see the economic value. What economic value does a speculation market add? And it probably preserves some of that stuff that wouldn't otherwise be preserved because people just throw it away. And then the collectors never have a chance to get it because people now are hanging on to old comic books that would probably have just ended up in the trash before because people are thinking, maybe that's worth some money. I should check it out.
Yeah. God, how many comic books got thrown away by parents who had no concept of what they were doing?
What makes me sadder is I know that I had some that got thrown away, but it's the ones that I still have that I didn't like when I was a kid. I'm like, oh yeah, I beat that book to death reading it a million times, and I just put it in I just threw it in my closet floor and then I pick it back up. I'm like, oh, that book's in the cover's coming off, and it was the one
there's that a big tear in the splash page.
Yeah, the one, and it's not even a book that would be super valuable, but I do have first appearance of Scott Lang Ant-Man in the, and I don't know, I've read it 100 times and never as a youth thought, you know what, I should just like make sure that it doesn't get beat up. And even now I like unpacked a box. I'm like, oh, I guess I have that one.
Well, you know, to a large degree, that stuff is ephemera when you're a little kid. You don't expect it to always be around. It's just there now for you to enjoy, and then it goes away.
That is true. And you use the word ephemera, which is our word of the day.
Thank you. Hey.
Expand your vocabulary knowledge.
I like you said the secret word.
Super erudite of you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I do my best.
So we'll be thankful for each other during this podcast because it's our Thanksgiving podcast. And let's get into the Thanksgiving business, which is the first book we read is Franklin Richards' Happy Franksgiving, number one, by Mark Sumerak and Chris Eliopoulos. He's been nominated for an Eisner and 3 Harvey Awards. He's turned invisible, bounced across the country, and fought giant squids. He's tried every last nanobite of Herbie's patience. And now's your chance once again to join everyone's favorite lab, Brat. Get it? Brat? Franklin Richards on 5 exciting adventures. See what all the buzz is about. You'll be thankful you did. What do you know about Franklin Richards, Jeff?
I know absolutely zero about Franklin Richards prior to opening this comic.
Franklin Richards was an extreme irritant to me when I was a kid because it's almost the Anakin Skywalker thing that I feel like. So I read Fantastic Four comics growing up, and then all of a sudden Reed and Sue have a kid, and now let's try and make the kid a thing because kids like to read books about other kids. No, they don't.
Nope.
Kids like to read books about grown-up superheroes because they want to imagine being the grown-up superhero, not the kid with superhero parents.
It's wish fulfillment.
Right. And so when I would read books that had Franklin Richards in them, I was like, when will this kid just go away? And I knew enough about comic books at the time to know sometimes if things happen, they just go away. And Franklin Richards never went away.
Ooh, even Wesley Crusher went away after a while.
Right. It is the Wesley Crusher thing. It's like, maybe if you grew up and you just, there was always a Wesley Crusher or whatever, you were like, oh, I'm okay with that. But it's like, no, don't introduce that because nobody wants it. Nobody wants the junior version of the hero.
Yeah. And all respect to Will Wheaton. I love Will Wheaton, but Wesley Crusher, just, I'm glad he matured and moved on.
Right. But so Franklin Richards was always just like this ancillary character. He's like, he's still in Marvel Comics to this day. He's not apparently as irritating as he once was, but he is very much in the Wesley Crusher vein of he has like nearly godlike powers.
Okay.
Gosh, gag me. But so when I saw this comic, and I read this whole series when it came out, it's because it's a different take on the Franklin Richards that you know and don't love. So I guess, Jeff, I'm gonna give you my short synopsis of this book, and then you can tell me how you feel, how accurate you feel it is, and how you felt reading this book. I feel like when I want people to read this, I tell them, imagine Calvin and Hobbes, but in the Marvel Universe.
I was just about to say, I hope Bill Watterson got a check from this. Because good God, they steal from him. Oh, just unashamedly.
Is it stealing or is it an homage?
No, it's pretty much theft. Pretty much theft. Just replace Hobbs with a robot.
Herbie the robot. Do you not have nostalgia for Herbie?
I kind of do. I'm not going to lie. I kind of do. It's Herbie from the Fantastic Four cartoon in the 70s?
60s, late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
No, when it was actually probably mid 70s.
Yeah, they couldn't get the rights to the Human Torch because he was tied up in a
That's not the reason.
Well, that's the reason I heard, but I also heard the other reason.
Okay, well, which one's true, Jeff? Which one? The other reason, you heard the rights are tied up with who and how?
The Human Torch was tied up in a movie development at the time, and they didn't allow his character to be used.
Well, I think the other version of the story is parents, they thought, let's not create a role model for kids who lights himself on fire. Because kids are already putting on Superman capes and jumping off roofs of buildings.
Yeah.
We don't need them being like, wow, what if I would lit myself on fire?
It's like that old Saturday Night Live sketch with Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin, where she's a consumer watchdog and she's calling out Dan Aykroyd's sleazy businessman who's putting out these cheap Halloween costumes. One of them is Johnny Human Torch. It's just a bunch of oily rags, safety pins, and a lighter.
So this book is a collection of five short stories. I mean, because it is, it's very much, it's not intended to be a long form story. It's intended to be like comic strip-ish.
Mm-hmm. Very much like a newspaper comic strip.
So you described it as a ripoff of Calvin and Hobbes. Did you, coming into it, not knowing anything about it, do you like it? Did you not like it?
I had fun with it, but I mean, the minute it hits your eye, you're like, Calvin and Hobbes. This is Calvin and Hobbes. What are they doing? They're just totally ripping it off. And then you read it. You're like, okay, well, let's just see how they do. And then you kind of get into the whole, okay, maybe it's an homage. And I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to gear this towards younger readers, and they're trying to bring them in. And I guess older readers who are, nostalgic for Calvin and Hobbes are going,
and
oh,
who also
kind of cool too.
And who also hated Franklin Richards and liked to see him portrayed as a hyperactive kid who everybody hates. Especially Herbie.
Yeah. Yeah. Herbie actually has harsh feelings towards him.
Yeah.
As we find out,
Franklin Richards gets a mind reading machine to try and read the mind of a girl that he has a crush on.
Yeah.
And all he keeps getting is Herbie with death wishes towards him. I think the gags were funny enough. And I dislike Franklin Richards enough as a character that I liked him portrayed this way. But Thanksgiving wise, there's one of the five stories is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And I think the plot, I don't know. I mean, they almost pulled like a Twilight. They're trying to pull off Marvel Comics, Multiverse, Twilight Zone, a lot going on in like basically four pages.
Right.
Franklin's looking for his dad and he goes through a portal. He thinks it's his dad, but it's a turkey version of his dad.
Yes, he goes to the land, the dimension where everybody is turkeys.
The Thing is a turkey. Human turkey.
Human Torch is a turkey. Well done.
It's just nonsense. He's going in. There was one twist in the story that I was like, that's a very Twilight Zone twist. Where like they're like, oh, we'd like to have you for dinner.
Yes.
It's like, oh yeah. It goes exactly where you think it would go, right? As a Twilight Zone fan. But then the other twist is they're captured, like, how do we get out of here? He's like, you're going to get us out of here, Franklin. He's like, what do you mean? And then the dumb alternate universe Franklin shows up and does something stupid, as he always does.
With his assistant and his little sidekick, Turkey, T-U-R-K-I-E.
I think overall for me, the book's a lot of fun.
That's all it's intended to be. It's just fun.
If you like Marvel Comics and you like Calvin and Hobbes, I would say check out Franklin Richards. There's a series. There's more than one of these. This just happens to be the one that had the Thanksgiving-themed story in it. Mm-hmm. It's light reading. And, you know, like I say, if you like Marvel Comics, you like Calvin and Hobbes, bonus points if you hate Franklin Richards as a character. So,
yeah, you could do a lot worse than picking this one up.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk about another book that I didn't even know existed, Deadpool number 37. I mean, I guess I knew it physically existed, but I didn't know it was a Thanksgiving themed book.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
All right. We will talk to you right after the break.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. What a revolting development that is.
Okay. All right. Hey, we're here at our Thanksgiving spectacular for the Casual Comics Cast, and we are now going to move on from Franklin Richards to a character that's got a little less history but much more widespread visibility, Deadpool.
This is my favorite. I love Deadpool. The movie version. I don't know him from the comics.
He's played by Ryan Reynolds. Do they celebrate Thanksgiving in Canada? I don't think they do.
Well, I mean, they probably have some different version of it, maybe. I don't know. I'm not well versed in my Canadian culture.
I'll find out. I don't think they celebrate Thanksgiving. I do think they're very polite people. I feel like,
yes,
they say please and thank you a lot.
Yes.
Which I did not realize until I listened to a podcast the other day where they were talking about, I think, Finland, they don't have a word for please.
Really?
That concept doesn't exist because they just get right to the point. They don't have to say, please, can you do this? There's, not in Canada, though. In Canada, they follow. They're much more humble and much more polite in Canada. So I'm going to give them that. They're thankful, although they may not have Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about Deadpool number 37. I give you the year 2014 in case you want to check out the book, because if you just go search Deadpool number 37, you're going to find like 8 comics that are called Deadpool number 37. This is written by Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn. I can never pronounce his name.
Posehn. Brian Posehn. He's fantastic.
Is he Canadian? Like poutine? Brian Poutine?
Yes, he's covered in gravy.
I don't think he would be offended by that comment.
No, Brian Posehn's great. You've seen him in all kinds of stuff. Big Bang Theory, Mr. Show, all kinds of things. He's fantastic.
And he started writing comics, and I think he's a good match for Deadpool. Art by Mike Hawthorne. Magneto recruited Deadpool to help take on the Red Onslaught at Genosha when Deadpool was caught up in the inversion. As a result, he has given up violence and become Zenpool. Seems like a bad time for that, though. There are also inverted X-Men, and they're not all Deadpool's friends anymore. The foe with a capital X-Men, foe-men, hang around the school. Can the all-new, all-different Zenpool mediate a truce between the foe-men and the suddenly hostile X-Men? This is a bit of a complicated book, because I thought you're going to do a Thanksgiving episode, Brian Posehn. Okay, now I'm thinking.
I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it.
Now I'm thinking it rhymes with Saddam Hussein. That's how I'm going to remember it. Brian.
I'm sure he'd love that too.
I think he'd prefer the poutine.
Yeah.
But it is a continuation of a story. It's not like a standalone Thanksgiving book. It's a continuation where Deadpool has been on the mutant. And Jeff, I can only imagine how lost you were in the mythology of this.
A little bit, but I kind of picked up on what was happening pretty quickly.
Okay. But, yeah, Deadpool's all decked out in white and he's going sleeveless in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I like the look and his mask. You can see him smiling through it a lot.
Yeah. He's showing off, all those cancer scars on his arms. It's kind of,
and everybody he meets still thinks that he's this mean badass. And he's actually not too bad. He's getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner. He actually hits a dude in the face with a frozen turkey.
Yes, but he will not kill.
He will not.
He's taking a vow.
I like how he clarifies. He's like, I'm anti-violence. And he's like, well, I guess anti-lethal violence.
One thing that I didn't quite get is that the real Deadpool seems to be like a ghost image that's speaking in his mind and trying to convince him to be the old Deadpool. But he's like, no, I'm not doing that anymore.
There's a conceit in the Deadpool books because he docks, like in the movies, what you see is it appears like Ryan Reynolds is turning the camera, talking to himself all the time.
Sure.
In the comics, they often use him talking to himself in that way. Like in this one, he's reflected in a mirror.
Right.
And or they'll use different colored captions, and he has a lot of internal monologue, mm-hmm. except in his internal monologue, they try and find visual representations of how his internal monologue is arguing with itself all the time.
Okay. And
so while he's very zen now, there is a part of him that is like, you're being an idiot. No one likes you like this. Your wife is going to hate you like this.
See, and because they had him in reflections and things like that, I felt like, and not knowing anything at all about the character in the comic books, I felt like there was like an alternate version of Deadpool trapped in another dimension that was trying to break through and get his Zenpool version to be more like himself so that he could come back to this dimension.
Like in the Phantom Zone, he was trapped behind glass.
Yeah, kind of.
That's another thing that I read today when I was going through comic news, is that apparently Star Wars is introducing their own version of the Phantom Zone, which I was like, I can't read this right now. I can't.
What?
Anyway, let's get back to the
whatever
book, and then we'll complain about Star Wars later. But yeah, I think I, having read the books a long time, I could see it for what it was, which was like, they used to represent that in just like you've read comics long enough to know when you see the box is like this, their internal monologue. They'll do two different colored boxes staggered with each other to show that he's arguing with himself.
Right. And sometimes they'll even like have a Deadpool logo by that box.
Right.
Just to let you know that this is the Deadpool that you know that's speaking, not the Zenpool version.
This is Mike Hawthorne getting clever with it by putting that Deadpool version in reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like Moon Knight, where Moon Knight had split personality.
Yes, that's kind of what I was thinking. It's something kind of along those lines.
Yeah, it's more a split personality for Deadpool than it is anything else.
Okay.
Because I don't know if they make it super clear in the movies. Like, part of the reason that he is the way he is they do tell it in the movies that he has inoperable brain cancer, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then he gets burned really badly, and then he gets superpowers that allows him to regenerate and heal himself. And basically, his brain cancer is continually eating his brain while his body's continually healing it, which makes him a little wacko.
Okay, so those aren't cancer scars; those are actual burns.
Yes.
Okay, I like cancer scars. That doesn't even make sense. That phrase. So yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Like in the movie, they show that he's got the cancer, and then he's in the super soldier thing, and then there's a giant fire, it burns him all up. They don't ever explain why his brain heals one thing but not the other, but
yeah,
comic books.
Okay.
But it's Thanksgiving time for Deadpool. What'd you think of this as a Thanksgiving issue?
I thought it was really, really weird. I'm not gonna lie. He's beating these bad guys up with a turkey, but he doesn't want to kill them. A frozen turkey, which, you know, come to think of it, would be an effective weapon. If you had the strength to wield it.
I mean, even a thawed turkey would do some damage.
Yeah, but frozen? Good. Golly, it's going to knock teeth out like that one guy found out. Yeah. He lost some chiclets on that one. Yeah. I honestly ran through this one so very quickly.
I have to apologize.
That
I'm sorry. I read it too fast. It was. And as I was reading it, I understood. I'm like, it's not one that it's easy to get into if you're out of continuity. Like Franklin Richards, you pick that up, and you're like, I get it. It's a standalone, it's a conceit I can get into. This book, which I liked a lot because I like Deadpool, I know a lot about Deadpool. It picks up like immediately in the intro, it's like, this is a tie-in to Axis. And I'm like, oh wait, which Marvel multi-line crossover event is Axis? I forgot all about that. And it's almost like you do have to know a lot about Marvel continuity, and it's not a standalone issue, and then it ends in a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So,
and there's characters in here. There's a little kid. There's an old lady. There's the woman who turns into a demon.
That's his wife.
Ben Franklin shows up as a ghost at one point.
Ben Franklin. I think that's just Brian Posehn showing off. Yeah, of, hey, apologize.
My phone's going off.
I'm gonna give you the Ben Franklin quote and how I'm going to possess a body, get drunk and fly away.
That was so strange.
I think that's him as a writer. He tries to do like interesting little sides like that. But overall, what I'd say is if you're looking for a book to read to get yourself in the Thanksgiving spirit, not probably the one you want to pick up. Like I said, it's great if you're a Deadpool fan. And if you're interested in the whole concept of the story of Deadpool becoming a more zen, peaceful, relaxed person and how that would play out with how everybody knows him, but it is a multi-part story arc and you're not going to get the setup or the payoff in this book.
Yeah, you're not going to just drop into this particular issue and have any concept of what's going on. And to be honest, in this one, Thanksgiving is really just more of a flavoring to it. It really doesn't have anything to do that much with the story. I mean, there's a gathering, you know, and family gets together, but I mean, the whole thing with the faux X-Men at the end, not really anything to do with the holiday.
You were saying dressing and you were saying flavoring, and I thought I'd have a holiday themed pun there, but by the time you got to the end of it, it didn't come to me.
I'm sorry.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then come back and talk about our last book, which is JSA 54. You want to take us into the break there, Jeff?
After these messages, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. You want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
You ready for it?
Sure. Why not?
All right. Well, thanks for taking us to break in such a lovely fashion there, Jeff. That was quite melodic. I like it. A
little throwback to the late 80s and 90s Saturday morning cartoon ad breaks.
I've been watching some of those on YouTube, and I quite miss them. I miss, you know what I miss more than anything? Because I still do hanker for a hunk of cheese, Jeff.
Time for timer. Who doesn't? Always,
man. And I think maybe that's the reason I love cheese so much to this day.
Look, a wagon wheel.
So let's cap off, talking of food. Let's talk about our last book, JSA 54, Virtue, Vice, and Pumpkin Pie, written by Jeff Johns, with art by Don Kramer and Keith Champagne.
Oh.
Keith Champagne. Nice. A toast to him, because the inks on this book were very good. It's that time of year again, Thanksgiving, and the JLA ventures once again to the JSA's headquarters to give thanks. Thanks that these teams don't get together more often. On Thanksgiving Day, Batman and Mr. Terrific walk down the halls of JSA headquarters. Batman worries about all the JSA and JLA being collectively gathered and a chance of a supervillain attack. But 33 minutes later, everyone recognizes Batman's wisdom and concern. Pull up a seat and join in on the fun, spirited day. Starring Superman, Batman, Green Arrow, the Atom, and like a million other DC heroes, it is the DC standalone Thanksgiving book that we didn't get with Deadpool.
Yeah, and kind of like during a State of the Union address, does the JLA have a designated survivor that stays on the watchtower so that in case a supervillain attacks them, some semblance of order will be maintained?
You would think so, but it's like, I mean, I appreciated this book for staying true to many characters and also giving us a little different side. I don't know much about the JSA. How familiar are you with the JSA?
You know, not familiar enough. I only really know them through just glancing off of them in old comics, and through what I've seen on Stargirl.
But the JSA is kind of the old guard.
Yeah, the JSA was the golden age version of the Justice League back in the 40s. And then in the 50s, 60s, when they came into the Silver Age with the new Flash and everything, they said, let's recreate it with our new characters and get a new group together. And that's when they put the Justice League of America together.
It's funny because I haven't followed DC. Like, Marvel has to keep updating continuity. I would suspect that right now, if you went back and said JSA is, for those who don't know, Justice Society of America, before the Justice League of America, they all still are very 40s and 50s-ish, but that would mean in this book they were 100 years old.
Right. And I don't quite understand how, because, you know, they used to say that the JSA was on Earth 2 or something like that. And then we had a multiverse situation going on. But this seems to say that, well, those guys are on the East Coast and we're someplace else.
I don't understand Earth concepts, Earth 1, Earth 2 in DC. And I feel like I should, because it's not that much different than the multiverse, but I don't get it.
Well, it's exactly the same thing as a multiverse. Yeah. You know, just alternate dimensions. And it's just an easy way to tell stories and reconcile irreconcilable things from all of your history.
Right. And just slam it together. So I don't know a ton about the JSA, but I thought, you know, overall, I don't think you have to. I know enough about the JLA, Justice League of America. All the heroes that you know and love are all in there, right? And this is a standalone issue where Batman's like, is this such a good idea for us all to get together here? Because a supervillain can attack at any moment.
Right.
And then he'd take us all out. Like I say, then it's like, who's the designated survivor? And the person who's manning the watchtower doesn't seem to be on the moon. They just seem to be in the attic.
Yeah. That's Dr. Midnight, right?
Dr. Midnight.
Yeah.
I always get confused between Dr. Midnight and Hourman because their costumes look so similar to me.
Yeah, they sure do. Dr. Midnight, doesn't he have like a... Well, he has the Dr. moon. Dr.
Midnight.
We'll let it all hang down. Oh God, I hope ASCAP BMI doesn't come after us. Yeah.
You have to find me first, Jeff.
We're in a hidden bunker somewhere in the middle of the country.
In the casual comics bunker.
Yeah.
Where I've got my comics firmly ensconced in plastic and boards.
Your trophy room.
Yes, as it were. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm just babbling, trying to make something up. I don't know who these characters are, really, to be perfectly honest with you. There's the JSA shows up in Black Adam, in the Black Adam movie, it appears as if they are contemporaries of the Justice League as well.
Right.
So who knows what they're doing with
it. You need to know about this book, really, is just that the Justice Society is the older version, and they're kind of semi-retired, and the Justice League is taking over, watching the planet for them.
Okay,
but Justice Society always just has a Thanksgiving dinner just at some person's house, and the entire Justice League has been invited, and Batman's like, this is a bad idea. What if a supervillain attacks this? Because it is. It's just a house in the middle of suburbia. It seems like it's one of the hero's mom's houses.
It does, because there's a couple of older ladies cooking in the kitchen.
And they're cooking and they're getting Thanksgiving dinner ready. Uh-huh. I didn't know much about Mr. Terrific, although I'm learning more about him. I like him as a character. Mm-hmm. But it's a standalone comic that gives you, I think, what I like in a comic book about Thanksgiving. It's just them sitting around like my family does, talking about utter nonsense and stupid things.
Yeah.
And arguing about things that don't make any difference, but then making up about it. There's a weird scene where Black Canary goes up to Dr. Midnight, and apparently they were dating for a minute, hot minute there.
Yeah.
There's some drama, but it all gets resolved. Wonder Woman shows up, and somehow what she's saying about America becomes political, which happens at people's Thanksgiving dinners.
Oh boy, sure does. The only thing that they're not talking about here is football.
Right. That's the only thing missing.
It really is missing, to be perfectly blunt with you. Somebody should be talking about football.
But it feels very much like a Thanksgiving dinner that you're dropping in on, and people are doing, the heroes are doing very Thanksgiving type things.
Yes, and unlike the Deadpool, these guys are, this is deliberately, hey, it's Thanksgiving, we're here, we're together, and it's more of a character study of them celebrating the holiday together.
And Green Arrow literally addressed in the comic, the biggest question I had is like, why is everyone here wearing their costumes? It's Thanksgiving.
Oh man, exactly. I'm gonna go back to the old Saturday Night Live again, to the sketch where they had the superhero party and, you know, Marvel, DC characters, whatever, everybody shows up in costume. It's like, what is up with that?
Right.
Why do you do that?
I was wondering, and I'm glad he called it out. He's like, what are you all doing here? Why are y'all wearing costumes? Because there's a Marvel one where Namor shows up to Thanksgiving dinner in just his Speedo. I'm like, somebody towel that guy off and hand him a robe or something.
This isn't the Playboy Mansion.
Anyway, then Batman's proved right. Supervillains do show up, but it's ancillary. It's just, this is a book about Thanksgiving. So if you like DC Comics, and you like the concept of Thanksgiving and hanging out with your family, this book is very much just like you're just sitting at the dinner table with these heroes and eavesdropping on a normal Thanksgiving dinner, which I found to be delightful.
Right. No, it's fun. It's good to see all these characters together. And it's every time that I read a little bit more, you learn a little bit more about them and you fill in little pieces of the puzzle.
Right. Well, I think that's a big thumbs up from both of us on JSA, Justice Society of America, number 54, Virtue, Vice, and Pumpkin Pie. Check it out. It's available. I'm sure if you wanted to go bid on it on eBay, it's not much more than $2. Or you can read it online in any digital platform you choose.
Check it out.
We will take a break and we'll be back to wrap our Thanksgiving episode right after these messages.
We'll be right back.
All right. We got 3 minutes and 52 seconds left, so I'm going to shut off this Zoom. I'll set up another one and I'll invite you.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Yep. Nice.
All right. Well, this is great to be back in the holiday spirit, because we are going to wrap up with my question of the, I was calling question of the week. It's really a question of the season, which is, if you were going to host Thanksgiving dinner, which I assume you've either been to a Thanksgiving dinner or hosted a Thanksgiving dinner, Jeff, are you more of a host or a guest?
I have always been more of a guest, because I am not talented in the cooking and all of that stuff. So
maybe I framed it unfairly for people who are going to do this thought experiment with us at home or in their car or wherever you're listening to this podcast, underwater. Maybe you're swimming listening.
Sure.
And now I don't know.
Could happen. It could happen. Judgment?
maybe you're on the space station. You're out in space.
You know, it's possible that they can download this podcast on the International Space Station.
That is true. I would love to think that people in space, and maybe you're listening to this in the future. It doesn't matter if you're hosting or you're a guest, but you're there and you can pick five. I said five randomly. I had trouble coming up with five, but five superheroes at Thanksgiving dinner with you. Who are you picking?
Okay. Well,
give me your first pick and then the why, and then we'll talk about whether we're going to alternate or whether we'll run down early.
Okay. I'm going to go into your territory for guest number one.
Marvel, I mean?
Firmly into your territory.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Scarlet Witch
is
my first guest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because she can cure my diabetes and I can eat whatever I want. What like diabetes? It. Ooh, hey, look at that. Give me more whipped cream.
I like it. She can change probability, which is great for that. I did consider that of like, because I like to eat a lot. It's like which superhero would give me the ability to eat as much as I want? And it would also not only not be healthy, but not feel full so I can keep going.
Ooh, nice.
And I didn't come up with anybody good. Scarlet Witch is high on the, you know, her hex powers are improbability. But I have read a comic book that I feel like you're better off being a guest at her house than hosting her.
I don't know. I saw Multiverse of Madness. I'm not sure I want to be in her house.
There's a Thanksgiving special of Vision and Scarlet Witch. Quite delightful. That is my number one favorite comic book. I like it. So you're going with Scarlet Witch. Who else you got?
Okay. So my next thought was Green Arrow, but then I'm like, no, I'm gonna go Hawkeye. Okay. Because I think Green Arrow might have some ethical problems with shooting a turkey.
Okay. So you're thinking you are either hosting or you're at some place where it's like right off the farm turkey.
Oh, yeah. You want them fresh.
Okay. I've never had that. I've always right.
Neither have I, to be perfectly honest.
Feels like it might be a bit gamey. You don't know how to prepare that. It's a different fat content.
Yeah. They weren't farm raised. So, ooh.
Right. All right, next on your guest list, Jeff.
Well, if you shoot a turkey, you got to cook it, right?
Right.
So, Johnny Storm. I want the Human Torch there to lay hands on my turkey and cook him to a golden, crispy, and yet tender and juicy.
I like it. I wonder how well, I mean, because it takes a long time to cook a turkey externally.
Yeah, but
he's got his flame.
Yeah, but all he needs to do is say a line like, oh, well, I can control this or that and manipulate the exact temperature. And I know how to do this exactly right in 5 minutes.
I'll give you an alternate, Jeff. Okay. You remember Spider-Man and his friends.
Ooh.
Firestar.
Firestar.
Her powers are microwave. She can cook that turkey from the inside out.
No way. I didn't know that.
Yes. So I like where you're going with it. I'm going to give you a Marvel alternate. Firestar might be able to more precisely control the temperature of that turkey for a longer period of time because her powers are on microwave base.
Cool.
Because she obviously was invented in the 1980s when people were like, microwave ovens, what?
Let's have a microwave superhero.
Right. All right.
Okay. Let's
you're
see.
Giving
here.
Me a lot of I see where you're going is if you're normally a guest, not a host, you want somebody who can help you prepare the meal.
Right. Because I'm just there to eat.
Cook the turkey.
Okay, so next up, it's kind of a tie.
Yeah,
it's kind of a tie. I actually have six, so I broke the rules. Okay, I've got six.
That's fine.
I want Deadpool there. Okay. Because I want the snarky jokes. I want somebody to have a really wicked sense of humor, so we can just sit there over on the side and just make jokes and laugh, and everybody's like, "What are those guys laughing at?"
Cast a comment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely want
Deadpool or Zenpool.
Oh, definitely Deadpool. Definitely Deadpool. You know, just keep him fed, keep him happy so he doesn't go killing anybody. But,
right.
You know, we can sit there and crack wicked jokes.
All right.
Next is Batmite. I want Batmite.
Way off base.
Yeah. You know why?
Batmite.
You know why?
Wild card.
He can supply me with an infinite amount of pies.
As I'm sure he has done at some point in a Batman comic somewhere. Infinite pies, Batman.
Infinite pies. Woohoo. I mean,
probably all Boston cream pies that are mainly shoving someone's face.
Yeah, especially if Ben Affleck is the Batman.
I would be 100% fine with that.
And finally, after it's all over with, I would like to have Plastic Man there to form the shape of a hammock so I can take a nap.
That's awesome. I like the thinking. You threaded it through from the meal to the nap.
Yep. I got my bases covered, man.
You got it. That's a good Thanksgiving dinner. I am more used to, I think, a little bit more used to being a host.
Okay.
And in the sense that, like, growing up, even my mom always was always at her house. We were always preparing and doing stuff, but it was also about the whole day. Mm-hmm. So I went a little bit more about the Thanksgiving experience,
okay,
where the meal is usually kind of taken care of.
Okay.
I did start, and then I changed my, because I started my list and then I read that JSA comic. But my number one, right off the top, thinking about linear of how you experience Thanksgiving, was going to be Hawkman. And really, only Hawkman. So when we start to carve the turkey, I could be like, someone you know. Just because I have that joke teed up and I want Hawkman to be there for it.
I knew something was coming. I was like, good Lord, you're going to cook the guy? What the hell?
Someone you know?
Oh, too soon? Sorry.
He got a little angry in that JSA comic. And I'm like, maybe I need to back off Hawkman a little. Maybe Hawkgirl's got a better sense of humor.
She could only.
And then you sit down to the Thanksgiving meal. And usually there's a lot of people around. And I'm with you on it. You want somebody funny and you want somebody who can keep the conversation going, somebody who can lubricate the conversation. And if things are dying down, and I read so many comics with Blue Beetle and Booster Gold, two of them at the table, because they got a dynamic. They can engage everyone in the old Justice League comics, Justice League International. They were always the conversation keeper goers, right?
Okay.
Like people like, you know, There's a classic comic where Batman gets pissed off and punches Guy Gardner in the face and knocks him out. And then they're like, oh, hey, they make a little wisecrack about it. And then it's all okay. They're there to help with the social situation of the meal itself, where you're all sitting around a table and it gets awkward. If you're only, I think that they would, if they saw somebody not being included in the conversation, they'd bring you in. Jeff hasn't said anything in a while. Let me bring Jeff into the
nice.
That's my imaginary Blue Beetle and Booster Gold at dinner together. And then, you know, after dinner, you referenced it earlier. There's a lot of watching football.
Yes.
I'll sit on the couch.
Yes.
If I'm going to sit on the couch after the meal and hang out and just chat with a dude, it's going to be the Thing from the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Because he's a normal dude just from Yancey Street.
Yancey Street, man. Yeah, I was about to say.
But he's seen some crap in his life. And he would be a cool guy because you'd probably be watching football with him and you'd see like an amazing play and he'd be like, that reminds me of. And then you'd hear the most amazing story you've ever heard. But you're just chilling with a dude.
Yeah. That guy tackled him the way I tackled Dr. Doom back in 1965.
Right. And you would want to know more, and he would leave you wanting to know more.
Yep. Very nice.
And then, I don't know, after dinner, you got to kind of get up and get out. Usually there's a little throwing around to the football.
Sure. A little exercise afterwards.
Get some of the youthful energy. And usually at my age, I get the kids out there. Uh-huh. Get Superboy and Crypto.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Because at some point, my arm's getting tired and I'll hang out with the two of them for a while. And then at some point, they're just playing with each other and I'm hanging out on the back, just chilling with them. And then I think at the end, me and Professor X just go for a walk because that dude has seen it all.
Dude, too soon. And
he can walk. He can walk in the comics now.
Can he?
He can.
Okay, I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, the guy's in a wheelchair. What are you doing?
No, he can now. And if he was the Professor X in a wheelchair, even I'd take him out. I'd be like, dude, you need to get some fresh air. We've all eaten.
Sure.
Let's go for a little walk. And I'm just here to listen.
Sitting at the feet of the master. Wow.
I know. So I plotted it out. And so for me, it's all about the conversation, just like this conversation we're having, Jeff.
Okay, very good. I'm all about eating and sleeping, and you're about connecting with people.
Well, there will be a ton of eating in the meantime. I did tell you, I struggled over. I'm like, would it be Dr. Strange who could come? I'm like, who could burn calories off of me without killing me?
Maybe the Flash could lend you some super speed.
Do it's like it's like you see those old remember in the 50s where they'd show you the shaking thing and people put the belt on them and shake their bellies? Like, that doesn't work. He can shake my belly as much as he wants. It won't take the fat off.
Oh man, that's like the old school version of the Thighmaster and right. All those as seen on TV things. It's like, whatever.
Well, that's I appreciate your list. You came at it from a really good perspective. And Jeff, I'm just thankful to have this podcast together.
Oh, I'm thankful for you.
You don't have to be thankful for me.
Creating the podcast.
Well, I'm thankful for you for doing all the mute and the voice.
Hey. I would do that for free. Wait a minute.
And you do.
I do that for free. Hold on.
Should we list the people we're not thankful for? No, we'll save that. We'll save
okay.
That, we'll save that for the airing of grievances for the our Festivus podcast. All right, man. Well, thanks for joining me for a Thanksgiving podcast. This was amazing. I hope you have a great holiday. I hope you and your families enjoy. And everybody who's listening, have a great Thanksgiving from the Casual Comics cast. Cheers, everyone.
Happy Turkey Day, everybody. And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, @CasualComicsGuy. At our blog, CasualComicsGuy.com. Or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people. I've always looked at it like back in the 40s when you went to the movies on a Saturday, yeah. You pay your ticket, you go in and you just sit there all day and they'll show the movie over and over again. You can sit there and watch the movie and never leave and all that stuff.
Right.
So the way I look at it is, you know, I came in and the movie has already started. And when I leave, the movie isn't over yet. And I'm never going to get to see the end of the movie, but I never saw the beginning of it either. So right. I'm just going to enjoy what I've got while I'm here.
You got to live life.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe get some extra popcorn.
Man, this is a deep thoughts for Thanksgiving.
I'll get popcorn for Thanksgiving, just like on the Charlie Brown special.
just like the first Thanksgiving.
Yes, they serve popcorn. Of course, they called it Pop Maze.
I don't know if I ever saw the Charlie Brown. Now you're inspiring me.
You've never seen the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving?
I promise you I've seen it. And I remember more about the Dolly Madison commercials than I do about any of those episodes.
Now I want zingers.
All I knew is I wanted zingers. I'm watching Charlie Brown. I want zingers. And what were the ones that they were zingers, right? That were like raspberry with coconut on them.
I was just about to say, did you ever eat the red one with the coconut?
Yes. That was amazing.
I've always been a chocolate person myself. So,
all right. So, Hostess snack. Give me your top three.
Counting down from 3 to 1. Number 3, Ding Dongs.
I knew you were going to say Ding Dongs. You're a Ding Dong guy.
Number 2, cupcakes.
Hostess cupcakes. All right.
Number 1.
Yeah.
Apple pie.
Apple pie. Okay.
The apple pie.
Got a little off script there.
I used to live on those apple pies in high school.
Man, give you the Hostess fruit pie. The apple pie was not my jam. I like the cherry.
Yep.
And more than that, in high school, every morning, senior year, if you had first period or eighth period, study hall, you could either come into school late or leave early.
Nice.
I did not have a car. My dad would drop me off every morning, and it didn't matter what time my classes started. I was getting dropped off before he had to start work.
Sure. So you're there at 7 o'clock in the morning.
And I'm in the boat with all the other guys who are, because I went to an all guys high school.
Yeah, you're Creighton. Same boat.
Creighton Prep.
Yep.
Same boat as all the other guys. We're all dropped off. What that meant is usually, now I need to power down some sugar and caffeine because I'm going to do all the homework I did not do last night. I mean, my classes, like school started at 7:50. My first period is study hall.
Yeah.
I'm getting dropped off because my dad's got to be to work. I'm getting dropped off at 6:45, 7. And I'm not starting class till 9. Yep. Straight to the vending machine, Mountain Dew, and a Hostess pudding pie.
Oh. Tell me chocolate.
Vanilla with the chocolate iced.
Best of both worlds.
I know.
Nice.
Oh, man. That's what I need to find those. And that's going to be my Thanksgiving dessert this year. I'm not doing no pumpkin pie. Dude, Hostess chocolate covered vanilla pudding pie.